Keep your songbooks handy. We'll be standing and singing in just a few moments. Well, it does my heart good to see the growth of this congregation. I know we have visitors here with us tonight. But from the Holiday Inn a few weeks ago, and now here we are. The good meeting that you all are having, the good preaching that you've had at least so far this week. Not sure how it's going to be tonight, but hopefully we can learn something and appreciate those of you who've come from distances and over hill and dale, so to speak, and with the rain and storms coming, you came anyway. Appreciate the invitation to be here tonight. The title of our lesson tonight is Examples of Encouragement, and on my notes I put be one. We all need to be examples of encouragement. Yes, we need to know the plan of salvation. We need to know the organization of the church. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The Bible is an all-sufficient book. It not only helps us to get to heaven, but it shows us how to live and to live happily while we are here. It doesn't say that there's not going to be some bumps in the road, some peaks and valleys, but it warns us of those things, even of the persecution that will come. We've sung about Jesus tonight. We've sung about heaven tonight. And thanks for leading all the verses to all the songs. I think sometimes our song leaders are, they act like their songbook's on fire, and they can't wait to get set down. And we miss singing some of the most beautiful verses. Well, we'll sing one and three or something, and not all the verses. And in my mind, I'm singing the missed verse. I want to just stand there and sing it anyway, but I'm glad to have that. Good to be able to pray to God, isn't it? Shake your head this way. Yes. Think about the old gods of the Romans and the idol worshippers of years gone by, and what good did it do them? But we have a God that hears and answers our prayers, doesn't he? And he loves us so much. We talk about the words good, better, and best. Well, God's way is good, God's way is better, and it is the best way, and it is the only way. It's not a man that walketh to direct his own steps, is it? Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And we see how awful directions our country's heading because men are thinking they can do it by themselves. I read a story about 100 years ago about a parable of an old cow and a pig. And right away you can tell this is not reality. Okay, you got that? The old pig said to the cow, said, "How come the master treats you so nicely? Just pets you, rubs you, calls you pet names, but he's kicking me, shoving me, got a stick and pushing me around, and he feeds me slop. How come that is?" And the cow said, "Well, maybe it's because I give to him every day. But in your case, he has to wait till you die before you're any good to him." And sometimes that's the way I've heard that said about some congregations. There needs to be a few deaths in that congregation. People like that are not an encouragement, are they? They're not an encouragement when they're constantly bringing up problems and troubles or inviting fight. They think fighting the good fight of faith is having a real fight in the Bible class. Tried out for a congregation in Ohio a few years ago. And in the Bible class, first time I'd stood before the group of people, and one of the men said, "Brother Haverly, this doesn't have anything to do with the lesson." And I said, "Well, just stop right there. You've already admitted it doesn't have anything to do with the lesson, so we'll talk about it later." And after the service was over, several of the members, we'd gone out to eat together and said, "Well, we're glad you did that, because every time somebody comes, he always asks that question just to get us off and get a fight started." So we don't need people like that. We need to be people who are encouraging. We're going to have our problems, but let's not instigate or be the instigator of them. There's people that are constantly complaining. It seems like every church has a complaint department. Well, look who they got for their gospel meeting. Look who's leading the singing. And it's too hot. It's too cold in the building. Always find something wrong rather than finding the good. You know, I wonder, we went back about 50 or 60 years when we didn't have air conditioning. Remember those days, some of us are a little bit older? You were already sweating, and you could feel the sweat going down your back, and the preacher would get up, and his suit would be soaking wet. There were no screens on the windows. Imagine what was going on with lights. If you had electric back in the day, the bugs and the bees were in, flying around. Want to have something to complain about? Aren't we blessed? Sure we are. God tells us in the book of Malachi about some ungrateful people. Malachi chapter 1, the last book of the Old Testament. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. He says, you can catch up with me, verse 6 of Malachi chapter 1. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor, or where is my fear? And if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised thy name? You ask God a question, you better sit down and get ready for the answer. Remember the question of the rich young ruler? What lack I yet? Did he get told what he was lacking? Mm-hmm. Did he like what he was told? Mm-mm. No, and we better be ready. Lord, what can I do? Well, he's going to tell you, isn't he? Oh, how have we despised thy name? He said, you are presenting defiled food on my altar. Defiled food. In other words, you are disobeying me. But you say, how have we defiled thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. I don't like how God does it. Did you know that's how a lot of people are about the church today? Why do you think we have so many thousands of denominations in our country today? Used to be 200 or 300. Now there are thousands of them. New ones propping up because they're not satisfied with God's ways. They're telling us, attend the church of your choice. You see? Is that what the Bible tells us? The table of the Lord is despised, but when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not for evil? Is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Did you ever pull open your drawer in the refrigerator where you keep your meat? And you might have some bologna if you're rich enough. And you pull it out, and there's some little green spots growing on there. And you've invited some people over, and you say, oh, they won't care. Just put it out and let them. Is that what you do? No, you don't, do you? Just cut around it, okay? Or eat around that green spot. No. No, you don't do that. God said, that's what you're doing. You're offering to me things you wouldn't offer to your governor, would you? Offer it to your governor and see what he says. You wouldn't dare do that. Verses 13, 14 of the same chapter. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. Do you know, when I was growing up in a congregation in Illinois, in Peoria, a fella said, we're going to sing all five verses. And I heard, really? All five, you know? And we weren't even standing. I want to know where are we going to go? Are we trying to beat some of the denominations to the restaurant? And is one verse or two extra verses going to make you be late somewhere? I don't think so. My, how tiresome it is. You think a person like that's heart's in their worship? We'll sing, all to Jesus I surrender. Really? More and more about Jesus, but not too much more. See? How are we doing in that case? And disdainfully, he said, you sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler. One version says, the deceiver who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Are we still serving the same God? Shake your head this way. The same God that they served, not in the same way that they did, because we're under the new law, the new covenant, the new testament. And aren't you glad we are? I don't know about you. Sure we are. I must realize, as Jesus was quoted by Paul in Acts 20 and verse 35, I believe it is, he said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." Well, we're thinking automatically, here's a preacher preaching about money. Not necessarily. You know, we can give somebody our hand, couldn't we? We can lend them an ear. We may even give them our back for strength or something to help move or carry something that they need. Maybe it's lifting up of their hands and their feeble knees. Doing whatsoever we can. Giving of our time. But my time is valuable. But is it too valuable that we cannot help and encourage others? So what if we know the plan of salvation and the organization of the church and our lives are a mess? Are we letting our light so shine before men that it causes others to glorify God, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 16? Are we doing that? Are we being encouragers? Are we being helpers to those in the kingdom? We sing the song that says, "Take time to be holy." You know what? It takes time, doesn't it? Again, "Thy word have I put in my heart." How do we do it? Somebody said, "Oh, I wish we got our word like the apostles did, through inspiration." That's not how it happens, is it? We study. We study and we put God's word in our, and that's showing how much we love Him or how much we don't love Him. Somebody says, "Well, I know I need to know more than I do." Well, what are you going to do about it? You're going to continue in that vein? "Well, Lord, I know I need to study more. No, I know I need..." That's not going to help, is it? And we need to be helpers of each other. What did Jesus say in John 13? Remember what He did to the apostles when He washed their feet? "If I, your Lord and Master, your King, can wash your feet, what should you do for one another?" What should we be willing to do for one another? Oh, that's beyond me. My father was an elder in the church in Peoria. And one of the men kept complaining, "Oh, they never give me anything to do." Well, my dad gave him a job to do. We took commodities. My brother and I and my parents had taken milk and cheese to the poor folks in the southern part of our city. And so we gave Brother Ben, we'll just call him Brother Ben because that was his name, and gave him that to do, and he said, "I'm not going to do that." He was above that. He wanted something to do so everybody could see. Kind of like Naaman, you know, when the prophet didn't come out, I thought he'd come out and wave his hand over the place and perform some magical... Now, we need to be willing to do anything, everything, whatever we're asked to do. That's what Jesus was. Tell me something that He wouldn't have done for you. We need to be service stations, didn't we? Jesus said, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve." Matthew chapter 20. Remember when James and John said, "Well, I want to be on your left hand. I want to be on your right hand. I want to be higher up in the kingdom." Jesus said, "You want to be great in my kingdom, you lower yourself." Those that exalt themselves will be humbled. Those that lower themselves, they'll be exalted in this kingdom. We're not in an earthly kingdom, are we? Like Saul, David, and Solomon? No. The kingdom of God is in our hearts and over our hearts, and it should be. Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." Oh, well, what did he do? Let me ask you, if you were in heaven and God had said, "I'm looking for somebody to go down on earth and help save their souls," I might have been sick that day. Or if He'd have drawn a line in the sand, let's say, and whoever wants to do that, step across. You want to come down here? You want to leave heaven? I'm shaking my head this way. No, sir. No, ma'am. I wouldn't want to leave heaven and come here. Knowing what's in heaven and knowing what is here, how long did it take you to think about that? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how much He loved me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And while we were yet sinners, Romans 5 and verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He the great example is. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. We sing that song, He the great example is and pattern for me. He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. How are we doing? As far as kindness, Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Are we? Are we? You know, that would work in a husband and wife relationship, wouldn't it? Sure would. It works in the church. It will work in a nation. Folks, it will work anywhere. And it will show everywhere when we are doing the will of the Lord. It ought to show in our attendance. It ought to show in our prayers. It ought to show in our singing. Oh, I don't even need the songbook. I can sing that song without even looking at it. Well, what are you thinking about? Aren't you glad God had us to sing and not play? Have you been where they play? Some of you might have come out of denominationalism. I've been in a whole lot of their services, and I can't hear the singing for the organ so loud, or the piano, or the drums, or the guitar, or the trumpet. And people say, well, I just don't sing. It discourages singing. When we are singing, make melody in our heart, teach and admonish one another. Are we thinking about that? How are we doing? How are we doing? Well, we said some examples of encouragement. How about David? Well, did he have some downfalls? Well, we could look at those too, couldn't we? And sometimes maybe that's all we think about. Oh, David, Bathsheba, shame on you. Well, he was a man after God's own heart, the Bible tells us. He showed himself to be something. Have you ever sinned? How would you like your life to be written down so everybody can see it? Nathan, the prophet, said everybody's going to know about this. And here we are, 2,000 years, 3,000 years later, still reading about David. But he did some good things too, didn't he? But you know, when you're trying to do good, are you going to run into discouragers? Those are going to say, oh, you can't do it, it can't be done, it's not going to happen? Sure you are. Remember when David took some food to his brothers, three of them, that were going to battle with the Philistines? And when he got there, he saw Goliath. And he found out that if you fight this giant, you will be made, well, we just say filthy, stinking rich. You'll live tax-free, you and your whole family, and you're going to marry the queen's or the king's daughter, and you be royalty. You live in the palace. Whoa, he said, what's going to happen to the person? And they said, yeah, they told him. Three times they told him, filthy rich, tax-free. Would you like that? Somebody told you not pay any more taxes? And if you're single, you can marry the king's daughter, if we had one. So he was acting like he's going to fight this boy, this 10-foot giant. And Eliab, David's oldest brother, came to him and said, now, little boy, you just get on, trot yourself on back and take care of those few sheep of daddy's. Now, see, that's about all you can do. Now, just run along on home. And David said, yeah, I guess you're right. I better. Is that what he did? Did he trot along home? No. The king heard about it. Heard about somebody after 40 days, month and a half, of Goliath coming and standing and making the challenge. You find your champion to fight me, and if he wins, likely story, if he wins, we'll be your servants, but if I win, you'll be ours. Nobody came out. Matter of fact, when David was there and he came out, the soldiers still ran away. The Israelite soldiers. So the king hears about, well, who in the world? Can you imagine if you're the king? Bring him here. And so they did. David came and looked at David and he said, son, you're too young. You can't do this. You're not a soldier. And that fellow has been a soldier all of his life. You see, he wasn't just some big lummox they trot out there in armor. No, he was the Philistine champion. Had a spear, the end of it, that weighed 18 pounds. Put 18 pounds on a long pole and then try to lift it. He told David, he said, when he come up there, he said, I'm going to cut you in half. I'm going to cut you in pieces. Did David run away when Eliab challenged him, said, go on back home with a few sheep? Did he quit when the king said, you can't do it, you're too young, you're not a soldier? Did he? And when he met Goliath running up the hill towards him, and Goliath stands up, looking even taller in 3D, and the giant threatens him, and did David turn around and run back up the hill? No. Man, you talk about courage. You know how he could do that? Because he told King Saul, he said, I fought a lion and a bear and I killed them both. God help me. God delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the mouth of the lion and the bear. And he'll deliver me from this Philistine. You know how he knew he could beat him? Because God was with him. And that's what we've got to know. Is that encouraging? Sure it is. We think we're a little group and we can't do anything. Oh, yes, we can. We just need to do what David did, and that is to stand and fight. Did he? Yes, he did. That's not a mythical, made-up story. Some writer, mm-mm. That actually happened. And he did it. You talk about faith, a lesson on faith, a lesson on encouragement. The ball game was over, they thought, the Israelites thought, David's going to die and we're going to be their servants. But look what he did. Did you know that Solomon gave us another example in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30? He said, I walked by the field of the sluggard, the slothful. And what happened to it? What would happen if you have a tomato plant? Maybe you just got one or two or five. What would happen if you just let it alone? Does it need TLC? Are there weeds in your yard or your garden that would chew them up, eat them up? Mm-hmm. You take care of them, don't you? And that's what it takes. You have to do the work. We can learn from somebody. We have a neighbor. Well, even when they lived there, they didn't mow their yard. Didn't mow their yard. Hayfield. Lazy? Can we learn from that? Is that, well, I want to be like that. No, you don't want to be like that. So learn from somebody who, even if he can't be a good example, you can serve as a bad one, but we'd rather you be a good example. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, if you don't work, you don't eat. Did you learn that? You don't get your work done? God said, his equation, no work, don't eat. See, would that save our country a whole lot of money? We could feed other countries with it, couldn't we? The ones we're feeding are lazy. And there are going to be some, if you're the preacher, people are going to come to your house. And everywhere I've been, people find out where the preacher lives. And they're not afraid to stand you eyeball to eyeball and look you right in the eye and tell you some sob story. Well, I learned a long time ago. My dad took me to a few events like that. And I learned that everybody doesn't tell the truth. So you ask them a few questions. They're just lying to you. And I'm not going to harbor, I'm not going to help somebody who's too rotten lazy to work. That's not a good example. I'm encouraging them to be lazy. Be an encouragement. How about the Shunammite woman of 2 Kings chapter 4? Just in about 5 or 6 verses there. We find that Elisha the prophet was coming to her house. And she saw he was a man of God. And she told her husband, let's build him a little room. Let's build him a little. Give him a desk and a bed and a lamp, a candle, where he can study. Is that a good example? Sure it is. Been to some places where the meal chart for the preacher, be 200 or 300 people in that congregation. And I get there on Sunday and 3 or 4 of the days are still. Nobody has time to feed the preacher. Nobody has time. That's not encouraging, is it? This woman was an encouragement. Are we as thoughtful of others as she was of this man? How about Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, verses 34 through 37? He actually sold a partial part of his land to help others. And did you know he did so without reluctance. Oh, man, I sure could use that. Oh, boy. I could raise a lot of crops on that, make a whole lot of money. You know, if he'd have been thinking like that, would he have sold that land? No. No, he would not. He sold it without reservation. He didn't keep back part of it like in the next chapter we find. Remember who their names were? Acts chapter 5. Somebody tell me who they were. That's it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they saw the compliments that Barnabas got, and they wanted some of that, but they just couldn't go all the way. They kept back part of it and said, no, we gave it all. You remember what Peter told them, didn't you? You haven't lied to man, you lied to God. Were they an encouragement? God killed them both within a few hours, a couple of hours of each other, didn't he? Great fear came upon all the church. Yeah, they were an example, another bad example. It caused everybody else not to want to do that again. Just like Nadab and Abihu, when they offered strange fire, Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, they weren't a good example, but they were an example. Nobody wanted to offer strange fire the next day like they did. We need to be an example of encouragement. Barnabas was selfless, not selfish. We ate Cracker Barrel a few minutes ago. We walking out and John offered me a piece of gum. I thought I was getting his last piece and I was going to take it. But there was another piece in there. You know what he did? He gave the other piece to me. He said, give that to Judy. You think, well, that's just a little piece of gum. What did Jesus say? A cup of cold water, folks. Doesn't cost you anything, does it? Is that helpful to somebody who's thirsty? Sure it is. Every time I mow the yard, I've got about 5 or 10 minutes to go. Judy sees I'm on my last leg. She'll come out and bring me a big glass of cold water. You think I'm looking at that door. Come on. Come a little earlier. You think I don't appreciate that? Sure. Does that make me hate her? No. Think about that. It's a bonding, isn't it? It doesn't matter what we do. We can be an encouragement to each other. What was Barnabas' real name? Joseph. He's just another Joe, wasn't he? But the apostles changed his name to Barnabas. Son of what? Encouragement. Son of encouragement, was he? Am I? Are you? You look around, you think there's nothing that I can do? When these young fellows lead a prayer, lead a song, give a talk, whatever, anybody leads, does anything, encourage them. Be an encouragement. Thank your Bible class teacher. Thank your preacher. Thank his wife for putting up with him. little things we can do. Song leaders, compliment. Look to compliment others. Or if somebody is not here, like Becky's not here tonight, when she comes back, when she gets to feeling better. I'll be gone in a meeting in one congregation and I come back, one of the members say, oh, were you gone? You know, it's good to be missed, isn't it? Sure it is. I still like getting cards. I still like people when something happens, they let me know. So encouraging. And we can do that. We can do a lot of personal work right here, as Andy Griffith would say. Right here. That's personal. You do it. Well, I never did it before, and if I start doing it now, then they'll think there's something wrong with me. No. It makes a bond. Young people, speak to some older person other than your parents before you go out, okay? I try to encourage that at Danville to our 20 young people, our teenagers. Before you leave this building, speak to somebody. Speak to somebody other than your friends, other than your parents, other than a relative. And to look for visitors. Look for visitors. Oh, do visitors escape you all? No, they don't. I know that. You're all over them, aren't you? You see somebody, well, they just passing through. How do you know that? How do you know that? You don't know that, do you? But you know their names before they leave, and you know when they leave, you know what they think? Wow, they're really glad I came. I'm going back. Just the opposite is true, too. People say, I'd never go back there. Nobody spoke to me. There's been a lot of, you get emails, Facebook sometime, little stories about somebody going to church, and nobody spoke to them. Maybe they didn't have the hair cut right, weren't wearing the right kind of clothes, and everybody came, gave them the eye, but that's about it. You don't know. You know, somebody like that could be preaching before long when they learned the truth. You think it hadn't happened? Think again. Personal work. All because little things were done. Sonny James sang a song a long time ago that said, it's the little things that make me love you so. And it's true in the Lord's church too. Little things. The cup of cold water again. Examples of encouragement. Be one. You be one. Don't expect somebody else to do it for you. Don't talk to old friends. Talk to the visitors. Do all that you can. Another example of encouragement. Dorcas. Just a couple of verses in Acts the 9th chapter. And we can turn there. Just you can find that. Glad to hear those pages turning. You know, pretty soon won't be many Bibles with all the electronics coming on. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds. I've underlined the last three words in that verse. And what got me started is John and John's dad. Long time ago, he preached a sermon and got her in this, in his sermon. And he read this verse like this, the end of it. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Which she did. And you know, I'd never read it that way. A lot of us are full of good works and alms deeds, but don't do them. We know. Announcements are made. Brother and sister so-so are out of town, or sick or something, or got this problem or that. What do I know? Could they use a phone call? Young mother has a baby. Could she use some help? Well, if there's anything I can do, what do you mean if? Just go do it. See? Little things. Little things. Dorcas did. Full of good works and alms deeds. Well, she died. Verse 39, they went to get Peter. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Well, Brother Havel, I can't sew. Well, look for something else you can do. There's something else that you can do. Okay? Were they weeping because they're glad she's dead? Happy tears? No. Had she made a bond with those folks? Can we all do that? Yes, we can. Is that an encouragement in the congregation? What do you think? What do you think? Every one of us, to the least to the greatest of us, we can do that. We can be like Dorcas. Somebody said, a kicking mule can't pull and a pulling mule can't kick. If I'm busy doing good, I can't cause trouble, can I? But if I'm not doing good, what do we say, idle hands or what? Devil's workshop, aren't they? The widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, they were idle. What'd they become? Busybodies. I didn't understand that when I was young. Busybody. I thought, that's busy. Somebody's busy. No. Well, you know what a busybody is. That's not a good body, is it? Busybody about the wrong things. The wrong things. The country group Alabama sang a song. What will I leave behind? What will I leave behind? Like Dorcas. She didn't have to hire mourners, did she? In that song it says, will I be missed by those I love? Or have I been unkind? Have I been true to God above? What will I leave behind? Wow. that a good question? What will you leave behind?
Well, I sure told him, I tell you what.
What are you leaving behind? We had a fellow coach Little League Baseball. 6'2" or 3", 250, 60 pounds. You think anybody saw him out on the field when he was kicking the base and kicked the dust on the 16-year-old umpire? If you've ever umpired a baseball game or softball game, have you ever made a mistake? Hello? He was all over that little boy. He threw the bats out of the dugout onto the field. Somebody said, didn't he go to church with y'all? Is that a good example? Was he letting his light shine? Yes, he was. That's why Jesus said, let it so shine. Because your light can shine in such a bad, bad way that it doesn't glorify our Father in heaven. It doesn't glorify the name that we wear. Couple more, real quick. Naomi and Ruth, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. There's a lot of stories in the Bible we can read about Joseph, about Job. And if tears don't come to your eyes, you're not paying attention. And here's another. Isn't this sweet? You just need to stop and pause. When Ruth's husband dies, and her sister-in-law's husband, his brother dies, and Naomi tries to persuade the girls to go back with their people. About verse 18 of chapter 1, isn't it? Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. No, don't beg me to leave you. She said, your people will be my people, your God, my God. Was Naomi a good mother-in-law? Mother-in-laws have a bad name, don't they? And sometimes it's true, but it shouldn't always be true. It shouldn't be true of us, should it? Any of us, father-in-law, mother-in-law, brother, sister, they were united even in trying times because of kindness. Because of kindness. Read the rest of that book. It doesn't take long to read Ruth, does it? Even if you're a slow reader, you can read it in 30 minutes. Last of all, how about Cornelius? First Gentile convert? What was he? He was full of good works and alms deeds too. Didn't read the first couple of verses of Acts chapter 10. And everybody in the world, you have a neighbor like that, loves his wife, loves his family, gives to the poor, prays to God, he's going to heaven. No, he wasn't. He had to hear the truth, didn't he? He had to hear the truth. God made sure that he did, and he obeyed. And in about verse 33 of chapter 10, he said, we are all here to hear all that you have to say. Can we improve our serve? Yes, that's right. Shake your head this way. Somebody already ahead of me. Good for you. We can improve our serve. Matter of fact, there's a little book out with that title, Improving Your Serve, written by a denominational preacher, but it has some good points in it. You can improve. I can improve. Constantly improving. Even the Jews like this Gentile. And Jews didn't like Gentiles. It was said that they had rather take food from the mouth of the dog than from the hand of a Gentile. They didn't like him much. And we could throw another one in. How about the Good Samaritan? Was he a good example? Wow, just read that. Luke chapter 10, 30 through 37. We need to do like he did. Help that Jew. I don't care what color he is. Red or yellow, black and white. Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Okay, I promise this time. Romans chapter 12, and we'll close with this point. Still talking about Cornelius, though, so I didn't lie. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, he says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord." I don't care. You recognize, are you going to get angry? Paul said, Ephesians 4, be ye angry, about verse, 26? Be ye angry and, sin not. You're going to get angry. What's road rage all about? You get angry on the highway? Sure, you will. But don't compound it. I've read of three women, six actually, having fights, two at a time, on the highway. Each one of them getting out and shooting the other one. Dead. Three times. What? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Mo. No, it never works. When I seek vengeance, I don't get even. I'll get even with... No, I'll do something worse to you than what you've done to me. Isn't that what happened? I'll go lower than you. Don't seek vengeance. You let God take care of it, because if you do it, you'll mess it all up. Therefore, if thine enemy, verse 20, if thine enemy hunger, do what? What's the tendency? Nah, 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 nah. Watch me eat my hamburger. At school? At work? I'll get you. What are you being? A good example? Hardly. And that will be in every part of your life. Change it. Oh, there's much more we could say. As they changed Barnabas' name, what if our names were changed? You know, well, Indians used to name their kids, you know, like Sitting Bull, Crazy Horse. Wonder where some of these names come from? What if, I've written down a few. What if we named our children, or we named members of the church like they did Barnabas? Would it be Sister Know-It-All? Or Brother Never Late? Or Brother Always Late? Or Sister Sleepy? Brother Grumpy? Brother Same Prayer? Sister Thoughtful? Brother Helpful? Sister Friendly? Which would we be? What would our names be? You ever think about that? There's a story in there somewhere, isn't it? I think we can learn. Be an example of encouragement. You can be, can't you? You can think of things that you can do. If a cup of cold water means so much, how about a handshake, a welcome? You remember your name? Sure you do. Can you tell somebody your name? Hey, my name's... We're glad to have you here. Won't you come back? And they may tell you, well, I'm just passing through. I'm on my way to Florida, but I stopped to visit, go to services on Wednesday night. Wow, isn't that something to find out? But you've made a friend, okay? Encouragement. They won't forget, and neither will you. Examples of encouragement. They're full. The Bible's full of them. Be one. If you're here tonight, an example of encouragement would be to obey the gospel of Christ. There may be one, even one in this audience tonight, that's never obeyed the gospel by being baptized into Jesus Christ. Well, that's not what my pastor told me. He told me I was saved as soon as I believed. Is that what the book says? Is that what Jesus said? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Don't argue with the Lord. You're going to lose. And you'll lose on the day of judgment. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You don't want to hear those words. But respond in complete and humble obedience to his will. Be an example of encouragement by responding to it in complete obedience. Right now, while we stand, while we sing, won't you come?